Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. I want to introduce to you our guest speaker this morning, missionary. He and his wife, Brian White, and his wife, Ina. Brian is a graduate from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and I believe it was in Chicago that you two met and are married. They have no children at this point, but God has blessed them with a call to serve Him in the former Soviet Union. They have been commissioned for short-term missions, but will be going back this next year for commissioning in Louisiana to serve as career missionaries over in Russia. And so we are glad to have them. They're currently residing in San Ramon and have graciously come down this morning to be with us today, to fellowship with us, and to share with us what God is doing across the sea. Many times people wonder what our cooperative program dollars are doing, what the money goes for when we give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American missions or the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. And we try during the year to have missionaries come into our church and share with us just exactly what we're contributing to. And so it is a great privilege for us to host God's servants in Russia this morning. I would ask that we bow and pray that God will bless not only as Brother Brian speaks, but as we hear, that we might be inspired to hear the voice of God as He calls us to not only give our money and our resources, but may even give our time, our energy, and our efforts to serve the Lord as missionaries ourselves. Father, we thank You for Brian and for Ina. We thank You for their time here with us today. We pray that You will open our ears, open our spirit, Lord, to receive the message that You have brought to us through Your servant. We ask, Lord, that we will be inspired by Your Holy Spirit to see, Lord God, exactly what we can do to continue the work of the kingdom of Christ, not only here in our community, and not only here in our state or in our nation, but, Father, perhaps across the borders, into the lands of the north, to the east, to the south, and to the west. Help us to see, Lord God, that there is something we can do personally to be involved in Your kingdom's work to people who are not of our language group or our culture. We pray upon Brian as he comes to share. Father, we pray that You will honor him as he's here to honor You. In Jesus we ask. Amen. Brother Brian.
Thank you. It is great to be here today. My first time in this area. I'm not originally from California. I'm from, is everything working out? Okay. Can you hear me? I'm from the Detroit, Michigan area. And so I'm a northerner in a Southern Baptist church in California. Go figure out how married to a Ukrainian woman. So, yes, everything's kind of just, but isn't it great that my wife was born in the Soviet Union. I was born in the U.S. And of course, you know, those were two Cold War powers. And but Jesus Christ overcomes all the barriers, doesn't it? And we're married. We've been married for about 4 years. My wife came from the Soviet Union back in 91, right before it collapsed. Lived in San Francisco, worked for United Airlines. 9/11 happened. They closed the office for United where she was working. She got transferred out to Chicago. And I was involved in a Southern Baptist church plant in Chicago. And that's where we met, and we ended up getting married. And a year after we got married, we moved to Russia. Now, is this PowerPoint? Is this working? Okay. Thank you for your support for us. Lottie Moon Christmas offering, as Pastor Martin mentioned, this year is $175 million. That's our goal. And that goes to support not just, obviously, Russia, but all missionaries around the world, Southern Baptist missionaries. There's a lot more missionaries besides the Southern Baptists. You know, the International Mission Board, the overall budget is $324 million. And we have just over 5,000 missionaries. And the bulk, more than 50% of that budget comes from the Lottie Moon offering. As he mentioned before, some of that comes from the cooperative program and other sources, but over 50% comes from the Lottie Moon offering. So We are so thankful for the churches at this time of year that that can help out. And Christmas is a great time to give, especially to foreign missions, because we're reminded of God's mission. God sent Jesus Christ to earth on mission. And, you know, we go out and we speak the good news. We preach it. Christ came to be salvation for us. And so this is a great time of year to remember that. Just about Ian and I, we've been serving in Russia for about just over two and a half years now. And we were involved in the logistics ministry, logistics and finance ministry in the office there in Moscow for those 2.5 years. And what we do is we support the other missionaries that are in Russia. And we have about 70 units right now in Russia. And a unit can be a single person or it can be an entire family. So 70 units and probably close to 200 people serving in Russia. And what we did was we helped them out doing their taxes in Russian. Actually, that was Ina mostly. We helped them out finding housing. We worked with them getting cars, maintenance, and stuff like that. Also, the visa support. You know, in order to get to Russia, unlike Ukraine, to get to Russia, you need to get a visa. And that's been an issue with some of our missionaries because a lot of them have to go. You can get a 3-month visa. You have to leave every 3 months for a week or so and then come back. We had one family that was in Kamchatka, Russia. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Think Siberia and think further away. Go to Alaska, go across the Pacific Ocean there, the Bering Straits, and then go down about 1,000 miles. There's a huge peninsula there that's, I don't know how many times bigger than Florida, but a lot bigger than Florida, and that's called Kamchatka. And then outside of the peninsula, about 5 hours, we had a missionary there and his family. It would take him 5 hours to get to the airport on the bad roads of Russia. So a lot of flat tires and stuff like that. And from the airport, he had to fly to another point in Russia and lay over for 1 or 2 days in order to get to Seoul, Korea, in order to get a new visa. He had to do that every 3 months. Can you imagine the travel? And so Russia is a big place. In fact, it's probably about 3 times the size of the United States. Now, as far as the number of people go, there's about 300 million plus here in the U.S., and there's only about 140 million in Russia. And so, and not a lot of people at all in Siberia. And we serve, most of those people are in European Russia, which is where we served in Moscow. So we were involved in logistics and finance. And we were short term, and our term came up at the end of September. We were praying about what we would have to do going forward. We wanted to stay in missions. There weren't any full-time career mission church planting opportunities open, and we felt like we wanted to move from logistics over to church planting. And something came up in Sochi, Russia. Have any of you ever heard of Sochi? It's on the Black Sea. It's about as far south in the European part of Russia as you can get. It borders the country with Georgia, not the state of Georgia, but the country of Georgia. And it's where the next Winter Olympics will be, 2014 Olympics. And so they decided with a lot of the infrastructure that's coming in, a lot of people coming in, a lot of internationals coming in, they wanted to have a church planting team down in Sochi. And so the opportunity came up. They invited us. And we, after praying about it, we accepted the invitation to work down there. So when we go back in April, we'll be going to Sochi working as church planters this time, working with the Russian National Church leaders there, training leaders and helping them start new churches. And so I guess let's get to the PowerPoint and you can see some of the pictures that we have explaining what I've just talked about here. Now, should it show up on here? Because that's what it shows up. There we go. Okay. This is our office. Now, you say, oh, this is kind of messy, but this was the day before we left. So I took that picture. Ina and I are dust there, and that's where we spent most of our 2.5 years while we were in Moscow. By the way, Moscow is a city of 15 million people plus, so that's a huge city. And there were only probably, within Moscow, there's probably only about 10 units. And so we still have a lot of units outside of Moscow, but the number of people in Moscow has actually been shrinking as far as the missionaries go. But that's where we've been. We were working 9 to 5 every day, Monday through sometimes Saturday, working in those desks. Next slide. And this was an answer to prayer. We were the assistant logistics coordinator. The head logistics coordinator is also on stateside assignment at the same time we are. And so that there left a vacuum, a big vacuum that needed to be filled while we were gone. Otherwise, there were no Americans there to take care of some of the paperwork and all the logistic needs that needed to be done. And probably about a month and a half before we left, we had a missionary that was in a town south of Moscow, felt like him and his wife felt like they needed a change, and God answered our prayer, and he moved over into our position. So that's him working there at his clean desk. It'll look a little different after a few weeks, but these are some of our missionaries actually in Moscow. So those are the people we serve. Of course, we do other things. We actually work with Russians as well. But logistics and finance, those are the people that we served. Next slide. And but outside of that, we did have opportunities to engage with Russians, evangelistic opportunities. This is an English club. They want to learn English there. I mean, you know, if you go outside of America, you'll realize that maybe besides France and maybe some other European countries, most people want to learn English. And so, and they want to learn English with Dunkin' Donuts. So through this avenue, we were able to not only teach them English, but also have a Bible lesson in English and in Russian at the end of our time. And in one case, one of our clubs, we were able to get through the whole story of Genesis, Exodus, and working our way through the New Testament, able to share the gospel numerous times, and so we were able to do that with our English clubs, basically, and most of them are unbelievers, so having a Bible study for about 2 years with unbelievers almost every week, what better way to instill into them what the gospel is all about. And some of them we invited to camp, and they actually prayed and received Christ as their Savior. Ina led a women's Bible study in Russian. Here are some of the women that were a part of that Bible study. The center one that's all wrapped up in toilet paper, this is a bridal shower. And so this is her bridal dress. We also did, besides English clubs, besides Bible studies, we were also involved in business seminars. A big church in Allen, Texas, outside of Dallas. Every few months they would send a team of businessmen to come and teach business principles to the Russian people. Of course, you know, in Russia, this whole idea of capitalism, this is kind of a new thing. I mean, it's only been about 20 years since the fall of communism there. And so a lot of the young people are really wanting to learn, because a lot of their professors in some of these business schools don't have a lot of practical experience when it comes to businesses. They have a lot of book knowledge, but there's not a lot of practical experiences, because a lot of them are older, and they just have never had the opportunity to open up a business on their own. And so we have a lot of small business leaders come in, teach the business principles, but also share their testimony and share the gospel of Christ. And so here's a couple of pictures from some of these seminars. During these seminars, they are taught in English and do have Russian translation as well. But, of course, they want to really work out their English as well as learn business. And so we actually have them kind of form their own company in their mind, and then they have to present it in English, and we grade them. And it's a great benefit to them. So next slide, please. So here's one of our small groups out of that business seminar. Next slide. And here are them presenting. This company here is called Fredgie's, which is part fruits, part veggies, and so they called it, they wanted to sell these these prepackaged Fredgies and vending machines. So that was their idea. English camp, that was a big way. That was probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest way, that we saw people come to faith, profess Christ as Savior, was through these English camps. Because these English camps would last 10 days, a little bit longer than a typical American camp. They would last 10 days, and besides learning English, in our curriculum, by the way, was the Bible, we would also have times of gospel preaching, sermons every night, invitations to come to receive Christ. And at this camp, over 60 people, 60, not just youth, by the way. You can see most of these people in this picture, this was the group that Enum was involved with. Most of these people are a little bit older. Everyone from ages probably about 10 up to even 60 years old came to this camp. And about 60 of those people professed Christ as Savior. A few of them in that one, and this is the, she got to work with the older people. They gave me the junior hires. So it was exciting, 10 days with them. But most of these kids here prayed to receive Christ by the end of the time. Now, does that mean they're Christians if they prayed to receive? We don't know what their true heart intention was, but we know that the gospel has been instilled into them, taught, and even if they don't follow Christ right away, 10, 15, 20 years from now, they could remember this experience at camp and remember the lessons that were taught, remember the Bible that was taught, and come back and seek the Lord after that. And so we're thankful for that. Here's a large group picture here. This was, we had a few of these sessions each day. And so English camp, that was a huge way that people came to know Christ. Some of the people at the end of camp, they just kind of coming forward. And this is, you know, at the, in American camps, we throw the kind of the twig into the fire or something like that. And but they, this was a little bit scary, actually. They brought a candle up at the stage, and you can see the curtain behind it. And it was their kind of, their offering, their prayer to God that they wanted to change their life. That was Moscow. And the next few slides is what we're going to be doing in Sochi. Now, you see, I told you Sochi is going to be the next place for the Winter Olympics 2014. Over $2 billion in infrastructure investment is being poured into Sochi. Besides the stadiums, you have a new light rail train system coming on, and a lot of roads are being developed. So here's some construction pictures, hotels, resort areas being developed and built. Next slide. Sochi is located on the Black Sea, but it also has access to ski resorts as well. So you have the sea, but you also have snow-capped mountains right next to each other. So it's very much, very similar to California. Next slide, you can see, this is a picture taken here in the summertime, and they still have snow in some of the mountains there. Here's the city. The size of Sochi is probably about, the actual city is about 300,000. The metropolitan area is probably about 600,000. And probably less, definitely less, I'm trying to figure out the actual math, but less than 1% evangelical believers. And so we have a big work ahead of us, and there's a few churches. You'll see in some of these slides here that the churches are relatively small. In fact, next slide. Okay, maybe not the next slide, but here's some other pictures of the Black Sea. Next slide. Beautiful area. If you come and do a mission trip, you get to enjoy either the snow or the sea. Here's one of the churches, and it's not as big as it looks. The second level of that is actually kind of like a mini hotel, because it's considered a resort area in Russia. This church here invites a lot of pastors to come for retreats and stuff like that, and so the second level there is primarily rooms and beds, but the first level looks like that. Not very big. This church probably doesn't have much more than 30 people, and that's the typical size of a Russian church. Here's another church. This is located more closely to the mountains. Inside, you can take a look. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then maybe another 4 or 5 on the other side. And that's the size of the church. Now, this is a city of 600,000 people. These are a couple samples of the church. There's not a whole lot more than this, by the way. And so we do have a big work ahead of us. And not only do we enjoy receiving Lottie Moon offering to help support our missions, but we also love it when people come to take part in mission trips, and we're really recruiting, because this is a new team, we're recruiting churches and mission teams to come and spend some time in Sochi and help us to plant the seed of the gospel there. This is not the church. This is a Hare Krishna, a group in Russia that is really growing, and they're proselytizing on the streets. And so the enemy is at work. You have the Orthodox Church, but you do have these other religions, some of these other cults coming in and doing quite a bit of work proselytizing. And so we need to be out there as well, sharing the true message, the message of the gospel. And these are the two of the guys that will help. This is actually some Russian wardrobe of this people from this area long ago. This is myself, obviously, on the right, and that's our team leader on the left, Don Combs, who was a pastor in Missouri for 20-plus years, and now he's a missionary in Russia. And then can we go ahead and play the video? And this video here kind of encompasses what we feel our passion about Sochi and our prayer for Sochi.
Gather together, they'll put malice aside and rise with the tide of the games. It's an echo of hope, it inflames our desire to see them all love the name that's above every name. Never.
inviting churches to come, not just for the Olympics. That's in 2014, so we have two or three more years for that. But before that, we need to plant the gospel, plant the seeds of the gospel, and really work with the churches, build them up so they can be ready for all the people that are coming for the Olympics. And not just the Olympics, but Formula One is coming, and the World Cup. This is one of the cities that the 2018 World Cup will be involved with. So we are asking churches and mission teams to come and help us spread the gospel. Now, the work of missions, you know, when people think of missions in the Bible, you know, a particular mission verse, maybe they think of Acts 1:8, where it says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will be, you will be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Or maybe the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, go therefore and make disciples. But there are other verses, and particularly in the Old Testament. I want to take you to Psalm 67. And I think this psalm really hits home about missions. This is a great missions passage. Psalm 67. And Psalm 67 happened to be our theme. You know, some seminaries or some people have theme verses, but this was our theme chapter, the seminary I went to. Why? Because not only did we want to get the word inside of us, but we wanted to get the word outside of us as well. We wanted to do more than just inhale. We wanted to exhale the gospel to the nations. And so our dean here really hit home on this particular chapter here, Psalm 67. Let me read it for you here. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Now, this particular message I call missionary math. Because just like 2 + 2 = 4, it seems in this passage here that there's an equation here that leads to God's glory being praised among the nations. And so I wanted to take the next couple minutes here and share with you some insights of this particular psalm. Now, if you said, what is the ultimate goal of missions? How would you respond to that? What is the ultimate goal of missions? And I would say to you that the ultimate goal of missions is not evangelism. It's not church planning. The ultimate goal of missions is worship. In fact, John Piper, a pastor in Bethlehem, he wrote a book called Let the Nations Be Glad. And in the book, he says that the ultimate goal of missions is, in fact, worship. We want to see people come to know Christ and for those people, the nations, to worship God, the one true God. Now, that can't happen without evangelism. That cannot happen without church planting. But the ultimate goal is worship. And it's actually, if you read the vision statement, the mission statement and the vision statement of the IMB, International Mission Board, you also realize that that is our goal as well. Turn to Revelation just for a minute. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And you see an example of what it will look like one day when all the nations will be before the throne, what? Worshiping God. Worshiping God. We want to make disciples, people who worship Christ, the one true and living God. Verse 9, chapter 5, Revelation. And they sang, there's worship, they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood, talking about Christ here, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. So worship. In the end, what will we all be doing in heaven? We will be worshiping. We won't be evangelizing. There won't be like new church plants being started in heaven, but we will be worshiping before the throne. And so the ultimate goal of missions is worship. Now let's go to the next slide here, if I can get there. And let's take a look again, specifically at this Psalm 67. Let's dig a little bit deeper. Psalm 67, how do we get to the place? How do we get to the place where the nations will be worshiping God? Where all the people groups of the world, as it says there in Revelation 5, it said all the tribes, all the tongue, all the people, all the nations will be worshiping God. How do we get there? Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that so that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. So it gives you the answer right there. The first part of the equation in the nations coming to know Christ and to worship God is, first of all, God's grace has to be present. God's grace has to be present. It all starts with grace, doesn't it? What's Ephesians 2:8? For by what you have been saved? For by grace you have been saved. Paul, look at his letters. Almost all his letters, he starts off with what? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Timothy, it says, God saved us not of our own works, but because of his purpose and what? Grace. It starts with God. Missions always starts with God, and it starts with God's grace. We love him because he first loved us, right? And so in order for the nations to come to know Christ, we need to see God's grace being poured out. What is grace? Grace is an unearned gift given to us by God, an unearned. This is nothing we did. What did we deserve? Because of our rebellion with God, we deserved what? Hell. We deserve separation. In fact, we were separated at one time before we became Christians. And some of you may not be Christians, but at one time we were separated from God. And it was because of grace God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that through faith we could be reconciled back to him. And so grace. Without grace, there is no blessing. Without grace, there is no salvation. There is no church. In fact, you could say without grace, we don't even have our next heartbeat. Without grace, we can't even draw our next breath. We are totally reliant upon God's grace. And so may God be what? Gracious to us. And the second part of the equation, may God be gracious to us and may he bless us, it says there in verse 1. God's blessings need to come. Now, blessing in Israel was often understood as, number one, victory over their enemies, but maybe even more importantly in their mind, number two is fruit from the land. When they thought of God's blessing, they particularly thought of a good harvest. They had an idea about a good crop. Agriculture is what they were thinking specifically. If you look down in verse 6 and 7, it says, the earth has yielded its increase. So it's talking about the harvest there. And God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And so the idea of God's blessing in the time of Israel was tied up with this idea of the harvest. If you think about the story of Ruth, think about where Ruth and Naomi and their family, where did they come from before they went to Moab? Do you remember? They came out from Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was born. Do you know what Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. Which is interesting because why did they come out of the house of bread, the city that's called the house of bread? Because there was famine in the land. God's blessing was not upon the land at that time. if you think about it, is the time of the judges, where people were doing right in their own eyes. And so God, there was no blessing. In fact, there was a curse. There was a famine in the land. And so they had to move out of the land in the time of Ruth. And so blessing often tied up with the idea of agriculture. Now, Israel's blessings were meant to be a blessing to the nations. It just wasn't an internal thing, like I said earlier, but it had to be external. They were to bless the nations with the blessings they received from God. They were to be a witness to the nations that their God was the one and true God among all the gods of the different nations. Look back at the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12:3. It says this, "And you," this is one of the promises, "in you, Israel, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, of course, we see that this actually came to fulfillment with not bread from the land, not because of bread, the great harvest that came from the land in Israel, but this blessing was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven. And so the blessing, the idea of blessing is more than just physical, but spiritual. Now, we can be a blessing. We can be a blessing to the nations. We can be a blessing. We can feed the hungry. We can clothe the naked. We can help the poor. But ultimately, the greatest blessing that we can bring to someone is the blessing that comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because ultimately, everybody's physical bodies will die, but their souls will live forever. And so the greatest social injustice we can do to someone is not giving them something physical, but withholding something spiritual, the gospel. That's the greatest social injustice that the world faces right now, is that Christians, people who call themselves Christians, are withholding the blessing of the gospel, the offer of eternal life to those in dire need. And so, blessings, God's grace, and then God's blessing. One more thought here about the blessing. Think about you've heard probably in the economic news this idea of the trade deficit, right? Have you all heard of this idea of the trade deficit, that the United States is importing more than we're exporting. So we're taking other people's goods, but we're not necessarily selling as much of our goods to the other nations. Well, this cannot happen with the church, right? We need to get the gospel out to the nations. We need to be a net exporter of the gospel. What we're finding is that the church here in America, that there's less and less people becoming Christians, there's less churches being planted, that actually the nations are beginning to come here. Some missionaries are even coming here and witnessing and planting churches among their people groups. Why? Because we're not taking the message, not just to the nations, but we're not even taking the message outside to our neighbors. And so let this church, First Baptist Church of Winton, be a net exporter of the gospel of Christ. And so you have God's grace. May God be gracious to us. And then it says, may God bless us. And then thirdly, may his face shine upon us. So the next part of our equation in the missionary math is God's favor. This is the idea of God's face shining upon us has to do with God's favor being given to us. That God, his strength, his power is being given to us to fulfill the work that he has commanded us to do in taking the gospel out to the nations. God's favor. If you think about God's favor in Scripture, I think about two particular people that are mentioned of having God's favor. One was Noah. Of course, he needed God's favor to do what? To build the ark. And second of all, Mary. This time of year, where it's Christmas time, when Angel Gabriel comes to Mary, greetings, O favored one. Why? So she could give birth to the Messiah. So God's favor, his face shining upon us, his enabling us to do the work that he has called us to do. But ultimately, God has shined his face upon us in the person of Jesus Christ. And where I get that from is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Now listen closely to these verses here, because I think this is a great missions verse as well. Here's what it says. For what we proclaim, this is Paul talking, and when he says we, he's talking about him and his associates. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness. Now, when did he say that? Hey, creation, right? Out of nothing. Let light shine out of the darkness. For God, who said that, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So ultimately, God's favor is on us, not because of us in ourselves, but because of Christ, because God has shined his face upon us in our hearts in the person of Jesus Christ. So this is the third part of our equation, and look what that brings. God's grace, God's blessing, and God's favor leads to what? Our goal, the nations praising, bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Look in verse 2. May God be gracious to us, bless us, make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. And that's really what we desire. We desire that that the people across the world, all the different languages, and in Russia there are many people groups, and you'll find out that in just a minute, but that all the nations would come to know what his ways, his saving power, that salvation that saves us from our sin, that brings us out of the pit, that dirty, slimy pit that we were in because of our sin. The gospel brings us out of that and makes us, it cleanses us and makes us new. So that when God sees us, he doesn't see us in our sin. What does he see? He sees the righteousness, the perfection of Christ in us. And so we are accepted, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. That is good news, friends. That is the message of Christmas. That is why Christ came to this earth, to bring salvation. In fact, Jesus' name means salvation. And so, may God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations, not just one nation, not just two, but all nations. Let the people, verse 3, let the peoples, not people, but let the people groups praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So it's just now, we're not just bringing it to the Russians, but we're bringing it to all the people groups within Russia. Now, our church planting assignment is working with the Russian people, but did you know that in Russia we have missionaries working among other people groups? In fact, the International Mission Board has calculated that there's over, listen to this, over 3,800 people groups that have not been reached with the gospel of Christ. 3,800 people groups. Now, to give you an idea, what is a people group? Let me take you to the, I don't know if it's the next slide or not. We'll figure this out. Okay. Give you an idea of some of the people groups. And by the way, there are over 100 people groups in Russia. I'm not going to write all the 100 for you, but you can see some of these people groups here. First of all, of course, you've got the Russians, and those are the vast majority of the people groups, or the people. Udmurts, Udmurtia, these people basically, back in the day, now they've become more, say, for lack of a better word, civilized. These people would basically worship the trees, worship nature, the Udmurt people. And some of them still do. And so we have missionaries working among the Udmurt people group in Russia. The Chuvash people, very similar to the Udmurt, different language, but very similar beliefs as far as it goes with nature and their God being nature. We just have a missionary that just got assigned there, and he's going there this summer to work among the Chuvash people group in Russia. Some more Ossetians, do you remember? Maybe don't. A few years ago, there was a war between Russia and Georgia, the country of Georgia, and there was a war over North Ossetia. Those are a people group, a Muslim people group, in the south part of Russia, or in, actually the north part of Georgia. Now it's their own little country, but the Ossetian people, there are many of those in Russia. Chechens, you probably heard of Chechens, probably in a bad way, because a lot of the terrorist bombings, and in Moscow we've had bombings. When we were there, the subway got blown up. 35 people died. Of course, there's a lot of stations, but a couple of the stations got a bomb went off. Airport got bombed while we were there. Around 30 people died. And so, occasionally there's some other terrorist acts as well going on in Russia. And a lot of the time, they're done by Chechens. Why? Because Chechnya, they want their own separate country from Russia. And Russia has done a lot of harm in Chechnya to try to stop them from doing that. And so they're not big enough, so they kind of counteract with these terrorist bombings and other terrorist activities. Just a few years ago, actually, do you remember the siege in the school, the first day of school every year in Russia, September 1st? And do you remember back in 2004, the Chechen terrorists came in and held hostage the kids there, and over 200 people ended up dying by the time the whole thing was completed. So Chechens, but you know what? Chechens, they need Christ. They're a Muslim people group, but they need Christ too. And to my knowledge, we don't have anyone working in Chechnya right now, but we have people working in the neighboring republics next to Chechnya. And it's a very, very dangerous situation there in that area. And then the Tatars, who are really a Mongol, they're Muslim now, but they're kind of their history, their lineage comes from Genghis Khan, Mongolia, in that area. Eventually they got converted over to Islam. And so one more, I think I have one more here. The Buryats, which are, they're located in Siberia, a people group in Siberia, and they work among reindeer and stuff like that. And so you can see Russia full of these different people groups. These are just a handful of the many people groups that need to know Christ, that need to have churches planted in their areas, that need the gospel seed planted in their areas. And so verse 3, let the people groups, all the people groups praise you. O God, let all the peoples praise you. And then verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. And so when all these blessings and favor and God's grace comes upon God's people, that the message is taken out to the nations, they respond in repentance and in faith. And they not only understand the ways of God and the saving power of God, but they begin to understand His character. And as we grow deeper with God, we begin to understand who God is and what He's like, and His justice and His sovereignty as two of the things that it talk about here in verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And that's what we want to see. Why? For you judge the peoples with equity. You are a just God. And you guide the nations upon the earth. So we can see a lot of turmoil in this world, like the Arab Spring, Occupy, whatever, Oakland, Sanford, whatever it is. Also in Russia right now, as we speak, it was either yesterday or the day before, they had close to, at least 50,000 people out protesting the recent elections in Russia. A lot of turmoil in this world, but you know what? God is in complete control over everything. And so things are lining up just as He has them. And as Christians, we can be confident that even though things look bad around the world, that what? God is still building His church. Christ said, I will build my church. And He is building His church, and He's building it through different methods, through different ways, through different means, but He is still building it, and the nations will praise Him. And so we can trust God, not only for the nations, but we can trust God in our own lives, that He is in complete control. All things, it says Romans 8:28, all things are working together for our good, for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And so, I mean, the pastor mentioned some of the prayer requests earlier, cancer, some of the other people in the hospital, and perhaps some people have, some of your family members have even died or passed away in the recent months. But we know all things are working together for our good. Why? Because God wants to conform us to Jesus Christ. So he's using these situations, these things he's bringing in our lives to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And we want to see that in this church, and we want to see that among all the Southern Baptist churches, all the evangelical believing churches. We want to see that among the nations, the people groups as well. And so why will the nations be glad and sing for joy? Because God is just. And by the way, he has taken that. God is just, so he has to punish sin. But he has done that on Jesus Christ. So if we accept by faith, then we are accepted because of Christ. And Christ has taken our punishment. And we have taken his perfection. Because God is just, but also because God is in control. And so the nations, they know the ways, they know the saving power of God, but they also know the character of God as well. And these are a couple of his characteristics. Verse 5, go down. Let the peoples praise you. So he repeats, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And so to summarize, God has been gracious with us, with the church here in America. God has blessed us. He has given us favor. He has empowered us to send missionaries, over 5,000, Southern Baptist Convention, over 5,000 missionaries across the world to plant churches, to proclaim his name, his fame among the nations. So he has blessed us, what? In order that we could be a blessing to the nations. And so if you learn anything from this message, this missionary math, know that God has blessed us, not so that we can keep it to ourselves and just to our family, but that we can bring it to the nations. We can bring his glory to the nations. And so let's pray right now. And maybe God is speaking to your heart. Maybe he's saying, I've given to the Lottie Moon, but maybe God has something for me overseas as well. Well, you know what? If you've been a member at a Southern Baptist church for 2 years, that qualifies you to at least interview to be a missionary with the International Mission Board. As long as you've been a member for 2 years, there's of course other things that they want to see. But if God is calling you to be a missionary overseas, China, India, Russia, wherever it may be, that the International Mission Board is a great organization and would love to have you on board. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this passage, and I'm excited about this passage, Lord, that we know that it's not of our own beings, that our own strength that sees the nations come to praise you, but it's through your grace, through your blessings, through your favor, Lord, through your sovereign control over everything, Father. And we can have confidence, Lord, that because all people groups will be around the throne worshiping you, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, we have confidence that because of this, that we can go to these people groups, these unreached people groups, over 3,800 of them, preach the gospel, and know that one day some of these people would repent and come to faith in you. I pray for those here today, Lord, that have not repented of their sins, that have not placed their faith in you, Lord, that they would do so even today, Lord. That when we think about Christmas, we think about the reason. What is the reason for the season? We know it's because Jesus Christ has come to die on the cross for our sins. And we are all sinners, Lord. We all need your grace. So I pray for those people who have not repented, come to faith in you, Lord, that they would do so today. That perhaps they would do so even in the next few moments, Lord, as we finish up this message, that they might be interested in what salvation is all about, what eternal life is all about with you. And I pray for those people who may be interested in missions, Lord. Maybe not overseas, but at least in this area, Father. What more could they do to help this church grow and expand, to bring people to Christ, so that those people could worship you, not only here on earth, but for eternity in heaven as well. So I pray for those people, Lord. Speak to their hearts. Give them guidance and wisdom for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank Brian for sharing what God is doing in Russia. Henry Blackaby, who is one of our missionaries, professors, church planters in Canada, has challenged seminarians for quite a number of years to find where God is working and go join him there. Sometimes we spend a lot of time, energy, and effort trying to jumpstart missions, evangelistic works, church starts, church plants in areas where God is not working. We need to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and go where God is working, where the Spirit of God is moving in the hearts of people, and join God there and do what God would want us to do in those areas. There are people in our fellowship who've gone on missions. We've been to Japan. We've been to Guatemala a number of times. We've been to Ukraine. We've been to Mexico. Small church like this being involved in missions. We have a team that's going to Guatemala here, in February? There's a Guatemala team coming back this week from having been over there for a week or so. We have missions opportunities next year for you to get involved with. Listen to the voice of God. If he is calling you, if he is urging upon you to get out of the pew and get involved someplace where he's working, then we can make that happen. We can get you connected with those individuals who can put you where God wants you to be. But it begins with him. By his grace, speaking to your heart, you stepping out in faith, joining with God, and making that happen. It may be that God is calling you to salvation. You don't know Jesus. You've never committed your life to Christ. If you're ready today to make that commitment, we encourage you to do so. We invite you to come to faith in Christ. We invite you, maybe you're just in the questioning stage. You don't know what Christianity is really all about. You don't know what church is all about. Missions may be a foreign language to you. What is that all about? And you're at the inquiry stage. We ask you to come. We will share with you what God has shared with us. We will help you understand who God is and what God desires in your life. But maybe you're already a follower of Christ, but you're not doing a whole lot. And you want to get more involved. Then I would ask that you commit to whatever it is God is calling you to do, to be involved in this fellowship, to be involved in this community, to be involved beyond the borders of this community, wherever God is working. David's going to lead us as we sing. And as we sing, I ask you to respond to the voice of the Lord in your heart. David, lead us.
Wash away all the sin that stains my life. Wash away the thousand lies that fill my mind.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.